Our scripture lesson comes to us this day from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people." The word of God for us, the people of God. This Advent, we begin a new sermon series, The Unexpected Gifts of Christmas. And of course, part of the great news of the Advent season is there is so much that we can expect. I love this time of year when all of our holy elves came in this past week and transformed the sanctuary. As you see it now, it is beautiful. And of course, the poinsettias will be here soon enough. And there's so many things happening in the life of the church. We have the car show and barbecue on Friday night. We've got the breakfast with Santa on Saturday morning. And those are just some of the things happening. In 2 weeks, we have the whole Christmas story being brought to music right here in the cantata at 11 o'clock. And so there's certain things that certainly I expect and I look forward to and I anticipate. This past week, I was reminded of something else. I went to get some milk, and maybe it's been there a while, but for the first time, I noticed the eggnog right there. And I thought, oh, it's that time of year. And as soon as I saw the eggnog, then I started thinking about the fruitcake, because I enjoy my mom's fruitcake. She makes wonderful fruitcake, but of course, this time of year, we always get all of the jokes about fruitcake and all the things that people talk about. They could be great paperweights, they're really good doorstops, and then of course you had Johnny Carson years ago produce the hypothesis that really there's only one fruitcake in the world. It just keeps getting re-gifted again and again and again. Of course, there are certain things that we can expect, but there's also certain things that we hope to maybe avoid this time this year. I remember last year I was getting a gift in. The very last moment, we were getting a gift in for Luke, and so I was unable to put it together before the Christmas Eve services. And so I went home that night after Christmas Eve services last year and opened up that package to see those three fearsome words, "Some assembly required." That's a lie, because there's a lot of assembly required. It always brings a little bit of respect to me for those who are able to put these things together. But I think about the sense this time of year of expectancy that is going on. And I think about 2,000 years ago, back when this story about Zechariah and Elizabeth is taking place. For nearly 400 years, it seemed that the prophets had been silent. Certainly, people had been praying, they had been hoping, they had been wondering, they had been singing, they had been gathering together faithfully in worship, wondering when God was going to act. In this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, we begin to see the door opening, we begin to see a time when the angels are descending, when the prophets are beginning to speak again, when God is doing a mighty and new thing. And I think about how unexpected Zechariah found all of this. He was going through the routine. He was doing the faithful things he was called to do. But never did he expect that an angel would be standing there next to the altar of incense. The angel would bring him this amazing news. And of course, as all angels begin in the Bible, he says, "Do not be afraid." But then he begins to tell Zacharias the most amazing news. He says, "Your prayers have been answered." And I have to wonder to myself, how long ago had Zacharias stopped praying? How long before that encounter had Zacharias stopped praying and hoping? Because when the angel comes to him and says, "God is going to do this thing," Zacharias' response is, "So how do I really know this is actually going to happen?" And I love Gabriel's response. It's almost as if he's indignant. He said, "I'm Gabriel. I'm the one in the presence of God. God sent me to tell you. What do you mean you don't know whether or not it's going to happen? Of course it's going to happen. So I tell you what, Zechariah, you're not going to talk anymore. I'm going to give you some time to think about it for a while. And the next time you can talk, we're going to see what you have to say." And of course, as the story unfolds, finally Zechariah is able to speak when they're talking about naming the child. And suddenly he burst forth with this amazing praise of God. He finally found the words to say. But Zechariah, I can only imagine all the years they had went through to get to this point. All the questions that they had wondered and pondered. And I suspect that there's a lot of folks in this room who may be able to connect a little bit with Zechariah. Some folks who maybe were praying to God and we wonder whether or not God really hears us. And if God actually hears us, and is God really going to answer? And of course, God answered Zechariah, but in ways Zechariah was completely unready to receive. And how many of us, and I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands, but how many of us have had an answer from God, or we've been hearing a word from God, and our response to God is, "So how is that really going to happen? I hear you. It sounds good. I'm just not really quite sure how all this is going to work out." How many times do we seem to wonder how we're going to put the thing together? There is some assembly required. And sometimes we put a lot of that weight on ourselves as we try to figure it all out. But the amazing thing about life with God is that God is working it out for us. And God calls us to walk alongside Him, that He guides us every step of the way. And we're not always going to understand how all the pieces and the parts fit together. But one day we will. And for now, we simply need to trust that the parts and the pieces are going to work together. God has a response for our life. God has an answer to our prayer. And God has a love that we cannot comprehend. And that comes out powerfully as the story begins to unfold. For so many years, people have been waiting for the prophets to speak. For so many years, the people of Israel had been praying the prayer of Isaiah 64 when he said, "Lord, when will you tear open the heavens and come down? When will you tear open the heavens and come down?" I would imagine there's been a few people who have been praying that in California recently and Alaska recently. There's been a couple of us here in the sanctuary who have been praying that as well. Lord, do you hear my prayer? When are you going to tear the heavens open? When are you going to come down for me? And part of the beautiful answer to that question is that God has, in a powerful way, torn open the heavens and come down for us. He did that in Christ Jesus, His only begotten Son, who will be born of the Virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. His life and ministry would go forth to be able to reflect perfectly the character of God's love and grace and truth. And He will walk faithfully with God all the way to the point of the cross, so that all of the sins, the brokenness, the darkness that keeps us from God, He takes upon Himself, that we may receive His life. And this is the gift that God has given. This is the way that God has already torn apart the heavens and come down to us, that we may know truly, without question, that He loves you. You are that important to God, that He would do all of that for you, that you may know His forgiveness, that you may know His new life, that you may have the opportunity to live this day and every day forward in hope. Because this is the kind of God that we serve. This is the kind of God who comes and meets us, even this day. In a few minutes, we will be receiving from the Lord's table the bread of life and the cup of joy. It is a way that the Lord says not only did He die on the cross, but He was raised on the third day. And the power of that resurrection is still available and alive for us even now. For God desires your heart and for your heart to be healed. And so my great hope for you is, as we go forth these next couple of weeks in Advent, may we acknowledge before the Lord that there is still some assembly required, but may we trust in Him to guide our paths and to lead our way. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, for the love that has been poured out. Lord, we thank You for this reflection of who You are, so perfectly true, that we may know that You are willing to tear open the heavens, that You have come down, and that You will so again. And Lord, right now, may You meet us in this place. May Your Spirit touch our heart and renew us in Your love, that we may say all with one voice and heart together, "Thank You, Lord." And amen.
Let us join together in a service of word and table. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.